Hey everyone, welcome back to the Pursuit of Service podcast. As listeners, you know that Brian and I are huge sports fans. We love the culture, the teamwork, and the leadership aspect of it, especially when it comes to team sports. So today, Brian and I are going to discuss leadership lessons from Super Bowl 57. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing, my friend?
Excellent. How about you?
I'm doing well. And I want to go ahead and before we dive into the Super Bowl, I was listening to your introduction. My friend, you are a long-suffering Cowboys fan. And my man, I'm hoping for you.
Yeah, it's not always easy.
There would be nothing better than 2 weeks worth of Jerry Jones news conferences, but I don't know if we're ever going to get there. So.
Hey, so we'll see. A little bit closer. So Cowboys fans, you know, what some call Cowboys Nation is kind of notorious for being like hypercritical, right? So we love Dak, we love Dak, we love Dak. And then, you know, they lose and Dak's got to go, you know, just this whole thing. And Tony Romo got the same thing. Jerry Jones.
Danny White got the same thing.
Yep. Same thing. But my take is a little bit different because let's look at what happened. You have 2 years in a row of 12-7 record. That's really good. They won a playoff game and made it. So my point is they're making progress along the way. They have a really strong core. They're keeping Dan Quinn, which is a gigantic win for next year on the defense. So, I mean, they could get a little bit better next year and make it a little bit further. They could get a lot better next year if Dak doesn't throw as many interceptions and go all the way. So I think this time we're pretty close. Now I'm also not a Cowboys fan that's like, this is our year. This is our year, because that's caused many a Cowboy fan pain, but I'm just a little more, I guess, optimistic than most of us. It ain't easy though.
I think every year in the NFL playoffs, and this is good leadership for whether you're in a business or athletic arena or nonprofit. Every year in the NFL, there's about, in each conference, three or four new teams that make the playoffs. Parity is one of the great things about the NFL. On top of that, though, that means three or four teams that made the playoffs before didn't make it this year.
Right. Yep.
And if you are asking me, and what made me bring this up is what you just said about the retention of Dan Quinn. The Eagles might be one of those teams that's in the watch category next year. And the reason for that, they've lost their offensive and defensive coordinators. Their center, Jason Kelce, is expected to retire. And he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Their Hall of Fame right tackle, Lane Johnson, is expected to retire. Fletcher Cox is expected to retire. 7 of their 11 starters on defense are free agents. If everything rises and falls on leadership, the Eagles are losing a lot of leaders. And the Cowboys retain Dan Quinn, and the Giants, who made big strides this past year,
retain their
offensive and defensive coordinators as well.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at, I know it sounds unbelievable that a team that just lost the Super Bowl on the last play of the game may not make the playoffs next year, but you know four or five teams from the NFC aren't going to make it. Philadelphia would be in the watch category.
Well, that's a great point. So if we shift our focus to the game itself, the Chiefs are that story too, right? The continuity of the leaders, Andy Reid, obviously Mahomes. But having that in place, I mean, Mahomes is the leader on the field, right? No doubt about it. And, you know, if you would have said that they're going to lose Hill and make it to the Super Bowl that year that Tyreek Hill was gone, you know, he's the fastest guy in the NFL, basically. You'd find that hard to believe. But, I mean, broken ankle or not, or sprained ankle or not, he put the team on his shoulders, and he and Andy Reid took it down. So,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. If Eric Bieniemy leaves as offensive coordinator, the person who's expected to replace him is I think Chuck Nagy, or Charles Nagy, he was the offensive coordinator before Bieniemy, and he went to be the head coach of the Bears. So he's coming back. So you're going to still have that continuity.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs ain't going anywhere, and because of the Tyreek Hill trade, they got 11 draft picks coming up in the draft.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere anytime soon. So
fun to watch. So what'd you observe about the game?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to take from the game. I'll hit this very briefly. Halftime adjustments by the Chiefs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so they were down 24-14, made the halftime adjustments, and came back. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I do want to spend time on this. If you read the accounts of what happened at halftime, what happened at halftime was Patrick Mahomes stood up and addressed the team. Frank Clark stood up and addressed the team, and Travis Kelce stood up and addressed the team. When you have leadership and accountability from within, and it does not have to come from the top down, you have created a culture of leadership, and you have created a culture of sustainable success.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was obviously some tactical things that they did and things of that nature, but the main thing that jumps up is how the team's leaders. See, here's the thing, Jeff. In every organization, this is a Jeff Van Gundy quote, your best players must set the level of intolerance for the organization.
Yeah.
They're the ones that say, this is not what we do here. This is how we do it. This is what's going on. Coach ain't going to have to worry about this. We're policing the locker room.
Yeah.
When you have that, you have a chance to be very successful. So that's one thing. But the main thing I want to talk about is a play that got some publicity, but not a lot. And it took place with a minute and 48 seconds to go. And I love telling this story about Jerick McKinnon, because you and I live and go to church about 2 miles from where he went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Sprayberry High School. So with a minute and 48 seconds to go, the score is tied 35-35. They hand the ball off at the 10-yard line to Jerick McKinnon, and the Eagles basically backed off. And the reason they backed off is, and this is a great leadership principle in and of itself, you have to know who your opponent is. Their opponent is the clock, not the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay? And vice versa. So the Chiefs are trying to run out the clock, kick a last-second field goal. The Eagles are trying to let them score as quickly as possible so they can get the ball back, score a game-tying touchdown, and go to overtime.
Yep.
And then it's even Steven at that point again. So McKinnon gets this handoff, and he runs, you know, the Eagles' defense parts like the Red Sea. He runs off tackle to the left, and he slides down at the 2-yard line, and the clock continues to tick.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, the Eagles had one timeout left. And then after that, you know, the clock ran down. They kicked the field goal as time expired. Chiefs are the Super Bowl champions. I want to talk about Jerick McKinnon. Here's what we learned. And I want to talk about the number one thing you can do to be indispensable to your family, to your business, to your church, to your nonprofit, to your athletic organization. Okay. And that's this. You and I, and probably everybody listening to this, played some type of sports or was in some type of public thing like band or dance or something like that when they were a kid. Okay. And somewhere when we're young, we are daydreaming about being on the biggest stage possible and getting the standing ovation and having the crowd cheer. And I guarantee you, Jerick McKinnon dreamed of scoring the game-winning touchdown in a Super Bowl. And here it was. But yet, he slid down at the 2-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
Several things come out of that. Number one, we all have personal dreams as individuals. All of us. In fact, if you're listening, I'd probably take I'd take a moment and write them down. Because once you write them down and see them on paper, then you're going to have to see what's coming up next. Number two, opportunities to fulfill those dreams don't come along every day. McKinnon's been in the league almost 10 years. There's no guarantee he's going back to another Super Bowl.
Well, not only that, but in this case specifically, I mean, how often does any player, I mean, let's try to count on our hands the last 20 years, how many opportunities a player had to score the game-winning touchdown with under 2 minutes left? Probably none, not that I can think of off the top of my head. And he had not just a touchdown opportunity in the Super Bowl, but potentially the game-winning one.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, you think about that, whatever your personal dreams are, you kind of look at it like that. So then the third thing is McKinnon obviously had excellent coaching. He had situational awareness. He had an understanding of the game. He had an understanding what was going on. He did not let his emotions override. He was not undisciplined with his running style or his decision-making. He obviously had had excellent coaching, and he had prepared extremely well as a player. And then that leads kind of to the fourth thing. If you want to have a great organization, church, business, school, college, sports team, nonprofit, you have to have excellent communication.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you in that huddle, not only did they get the coaching from the sideline, but Patrick Mahomes and probably all the veterans were saying, if they open up, you slide down and let the clock run out.
Mm-hmm.
There was no lack of clarity. Never assume clarity. And clarity is always in the eye of the receiver. How many times, Jeff, I've said it a million times, you probably have too. How many times have people said, that's not what I said?
Right. Yep.
Okay. Well, what you said may or may not be relevant. It's clarity that's the issue. Clarity is determined by the receiver of the information, not the deliverer of it.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, number one, he had his own personal dreams. Number two, he had an opportunity to fulfill them. But number three, he also had situational awareness and great preparation. He had received great coaching, and they had great communication, which is going to lead to the big leadership lesson that I want to talk about. And that is what makes you indispensable to your organization. All of his hopes, all of his dreams, all the things he would tell his kids and grandkids about, all the things he would tell his family about, you know, everything that he could do, he submitted his dreams for the good of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
He placed the organization's goals and objectives and his teammates' success above his own personal desires and wishes.
Self-sacrifice.
And that's the word, Jeff. If you want to become indispensable to your organization, you need to, number one, produce. You know, you've got to produce. But number two, you got to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to put your teammates and your organization above your own personal wishes and desires. If you do that, that makes you indispensable. And when I think of Super Bowl 57, yes, there was the heading up to it. We had great testimonials of faith from both Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. You know, we had a great game, went down to the wire, halftime adjustments. The thing I will always remember is Jerick McKinnon sliding down at the 2-yard line. And if you really think about it, what went into that decision and what that decision means and how that applies to each and every one of our lives.
Yeah, it's tremendous. I we recognize that and we applaud him for it, but I hope he goes down in history in that same way too, because we think about sacrifice usually in terms of, oh, Mahomes and his sprained ankle and he played on it anyway, or Jordan in the flu game where he scored 30 some odd points to lead him to victory, which is all very valid, right? Like, to sacrifice your body or your health or your comfort is commendable in and of itself, but that also comes with some glory. In some ways, if you're hurt or sick, you only have upside, because if you don't perform well, you were hurt or sick, but if you do, you're a hero. In this case, there wasn't the glory, at least not the obvious glory, of taking the lead in the Super Bowl, you know, or of not taking the lead in the Super Bowl on that touchdown. So it wasn't a you know, it wasn't a glorifying sacrifice. It truly was a self-sacrifice.
Correct. And here you and I are talking about it.
Yeah. And I hope people talk about it for, you know, forever, basically. Yeah.
So that's just kind of my thoughts from the Super Bowl. I do think the Chiefs are the early prohibitive favorites for next year.
In the AFC.
NFC, wide open. I'm hoping for San Francisco. I do apologize. I'm so sorry.
I hope and think we'll see him again in the playoffs. So if we look briefly at what we talked about today, sacrifice being the big one, and you explained it very well, accountability, the leadership coming from within at halftime. I also wanted to mention too, we touched on it, but I wanted to explore a little bit further those halftime adjustments that the Chiefs made. The leadership lesson there is that you always have to be, you have to be agile. You have to be evaluating, and you have to be kind of willing and ready to adjust, because how often have we seen, for instance, in sports, hey, we have a game plan, we're sticking to it, and it doesn't work, right? If it's not working, there is an element of being consistent to who you are and things like that. But that's the discernment and the wisdom of a good leader to figure out or decide when that's right. I mean, that second half, they scored on every drive. I mean, you can tell by the plays that they were calling that those plays were setting up the next play. You know, case in point, the same play that they ran on the guy going in motion and turning the other way on each side of the field, which was clearly a read on the D-back. You know, as soon as he starts to cut across and they're shifting over, you just turn around and I can only imagine what the coaching, you know, conversations were at halftime. Hey, check it out. They're doing this, so we're going to do this.
You know, Jeff, here's the thing. I'll talk about halftime because I actually wrote about what happened at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll hit them real quick. There's seven things that I notice. Number one, trust your culture. You know, the leaders coming up from within, that's a culture item. Okay. So number one, trust your culture. Number two, trust your memory. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Frank Wright before. Or Frank Clark before. Frank, what his main communicative point is, we've come back from 10 points down so many times.
Yeah.
So trust your memory. The greatest weapon you have as a leader is your memory. And the greatest weapon as a Christian is your memory. If God did it once, he'll do it again.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So trust your memory. Number three, increase your energy. So obviously, you know, I mean, like Travis Kelce in particular was like, where's your energy? We need to fight, you know, that kind of thing. So if you need to regain lost momentum, you're going to have to buckle up your bootstraps a little bit. You know, you're going to have to increase your energy. Lead from within. We've already addressed that. Change your approach. This gets a little nerdy, but the bottom line is they changed their blitz packages in the second half against the Eagles.
Mm.
They quit going after Jalen Hurts so much, and they trusted the linebackers to make plays.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the schematic side on the defense. But number six, the schematic side on the offense was Mahomes was hurt. He had re-injured the ankle. Here's an interesting stat. After halftime, the Chiefs had 19 running plays, 14 passing plays. Mahomes is Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew Superman had kryptonite in his ankle.
Yeah.
And they changed schematically how they were doing that. And here's the point there. Many times when your organization needs to regain lost momentum, you got to ease the burden on your top producers.
Yeah.
The top producers need some help. I mean, they've been carrying you for so long. And when things get difficult, you got to get them some help, you know. And here's the big one. I mean, you know, I always love this. Big time players make big time plays in big time games.
Yeah, that's right.
And bottom line is Mahomes once again brought them back from 10 points down, took them down the field, game-winning touchdown, big-time players make big time. So not only do you ease the burden of your top producers, you trust them to bring home the results, produce, and reverse the momentum.
That's it.
So there you go.
That's good. Good stuff, 2-for-1. You get two thorough lessons in this one.
You get a twofer. Yeah. That's you get good. A twofer. So I hope these are some lessons. You know, obviously we can't perform like Mahomes. You know, we're not as fast as Jarrett McKinnon. You know, I mean, we're not professional athletes, but we all have leadership roles and responsibilities. And the beauty is leadership principles are transferable from one person to the next and one organization to the next. And the things we've talked about is stuff that all leaders can utilize.
Yeah, well said. And I think perhaps the outcome of our leadership is based on our habits and those principles, rather than necessarily the outcome itself based on some athletic feat. So the point is, it's all relevant because we're the sum of our habits. So thanks to everyone for listening. Remember to serve others, not as a task, but as a purpose.